Thanks for listening to Exploring the Wine Glass podcast, the podcast for people who love wine. I'm Lori Budd, a UC Davis winemaking program and WSET Level 2 graduate. You can find Exploring the Wine Glass on all the socials, as well as your favorite podcast catchers. If you haven't subscribed yet, now's the perfect time. I promise I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass. From 1934 to 1980, an elevated rail line, now called the High Line, connected the rail yards of Midtown Manhattan to an industrial district along the Lower West Side Manhattan. Constructed 30 feet above the ground, it avoided dangerous street crossings and routed between 10th and 11th Streets. In its more northern sections, the railways avoided association with unpopulated, elevated sections of New York City's subway system. After much controversy, the considerable effort, and 6 years later, the third and final sections were completed. The aerial park is now just under 1.5 miles. I had the opportunity to attend the Rioja Railway Wine Experience, which allowed me to taste Rioja's most exceptional wines. Since this region was changed forever thanks to the industrial age, and specifically the train, it was a perfect location to experience these incredible wines. I had previously published a masterclass podcast from this same day. If you missed it and are interested in hearing more about these wines, scroll back to episode 109. I recorded this podcast alongside my partner in wine crime, Debbie G. Aquindo, the HV Wine Goddess. That's the other voice you're going to hear. Be sure to check out her podcast also, as she has a different class that is available to listen to, along with the podcast that is paired with this. And special thanks to her, since I lost my, I accidentally deleted my audio for this podcast, she generously shared it with me. Sláinte.
Debbie and Lori, and we're here on the High Line in New York City at the Rioja Railway Wine Experience. It's a wine experience that is built in the Rioja Valley that the railway gave them exposure to the rest of the world. And we're tasting all kinds of Rioja wines, both more reds than whites, but they're absolutely pretty amazing wines.
So the whole concept of this, which is a very clever marketing tool, I would think, is that we are on the High Line in New York City. So for those of you who are not from New York or are not familiar with the High Line, this actually used to be a train railway path. And what they've done, it's raised, so it's above the street, and what they've done is they've converted this into a beautiful walking path with gardens on it, artwork, constant, and they're constantly updating it. So it's a railway that has been created to beautify the city. So what Debbie and I are thinking we're going to do, and this is the first time we've done this, so bear with us.
Sounds good. Let's go taste our first wine.
Let's go taste. Corey.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're with Nolan Jones and with Bodegas. I'm terrible at my pronunciations of foreign things.
Vilainas.
Vilainas?
Yes.
Vina Pomal?
Vina Pomal, yeah.
Okay, so tell us about the winery, when it began.
Yeah, absolutely. So the winery was founded before the turn of the century as one of the oldest wineries, which is still in existence in Rioja Alta, around the town of Haro. So the winery has a long history of making sparkling wine, still wine, and essentially brandy. Vina Pomal is one of the brands of still wine that was created when Bilbaínas first started. So what we're tasting today are the red wines from Bodegas Bilbaínas called Vina Pomal.
Excellent. And the name itself comes from?
From the founder's home, which was in Bilbao.
Now we did taste, you said we're going to taste red wines here, but tell us about those two whites.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of stuck in there.
We had a Viura Malvasia blend and a Tempranillo Blanco. The Malvasia is obviously a common Spanish grape, and Viura is less common but still very widely planted. Tempranillo Blanco is less so. So it's a grape that came from a mutation in red Tempranillo that has since been propagated and grown into a really beautiful white wine.
So it's more like a Pinot Blanco. It's an actual mutation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I'm going to geek out a little bit.
Okay? Right in.
So please tell us about the actual grapes themselves. Why are you picking the two grapes to blend together?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Malvasia and the Viura contribute one kind of a bright floral element, the other kind of a rounder, more acidic element. The combination creates a wine that's suitable for aging, but also really enjoyable young. There's a barrel aging and fermentation component of the wine as well, which rounds out some of those brighter, fresher fruit characters. So the combination is a really balanced, bright, enjoyable young white wine with a ton of character, a ton of texture.
The oak that you use, is it used? Is it new?
We do a combination of used American and new French oak on the Viura Malvasia blend.
And what was the winemaking process? What was the aging process?
For that, it was barrel fermented in new French oak and then barrel aged in used American oak. So.
And you had mentioned it is independently harvested, independently fermented. So each vintage that you create this wine, is that percentage of the two grapes different?
It's roughly the same every vintage. And it's based largely on what we have available in our estate vineyards. So it's kind of the concentration of what we have of both grapes as a percentage of our overall wine production.
Is everything that you produce estate grown?
Yes. So, well, actually, there's one caveat. Our Grenache that we're serving today is not. It comes from two separate sites in Rioja. Everything else is estate, and we actually source or we grow all of our grapes around the town of Haro where our winery is located.
And how many hectares do you have?
It's about 240 hectares. So it's we're the largest vineyard holder in Haro.
And what is your production?
So we do, in Spain, around 1 million bottles.
Okay, just a little.
Relatively large.
So every winemaker, right, every winery has their favorite child, and I know that's a horrible question to ask, but, do you have a favorite child?
Yeah, the Reserve is an incredible wine. So the 14 that we're pouring this year is the most recent vintage, but consistently the 13, the 12, the 11, it's a wine that ages incredibly well and is super versatile with food. And it's really affordable at $25, so you can buy it for a weeknight dinner, but it also goes great with a weekend special occasion.
Can you talk to us a little bit about what you're pouring today, the different
Yeah, absolutely.
Bottles?
So here is a collection of what are essentially the most historic wineries in Haro, so the historic home of Rioja. We chose to pour a collection of very traditional Riojas, so our Reserva and Gran Reserva, which are made in the historic way, traditional Rioja winemaking and aging.
So can you touch a little bit about the historic way and traditional
Rioja? Yeah, absolutely. So American oak, our Reserva is 18 months in barrel and another 2 years in bottle. Our Gran Reserva is 2 years in barrel and then 3 years in the bottle, so relatively long aging profile. The wines themselves showcase that in a way that I think is very true to what people expect from elegant, long-lived Rioja wines.
And my last question is, how do people find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a self-importer, but we're the North American branch of Reventos Cortenu, which is the company that owns Bodegas Bilbaínas. In New York, we're distributed through Grapes and Greens, and then nationwide, our company is called, it's Reventos Cortenu North America. So.
Any social media channels that they can find you on now? You guys got to get on social media.
Yeah, you can go to Bodegas Bilbaínas or Viña Pomal on Instagram. We don't have a North American profile, but you'll be able to find updates on the winery's vineyard and winemaking activities on that account. So.
Great.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So why? Juan Yuga?
Yeah, right.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
Muga.
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 Okay.
Yeah, right.
So why don't we first ask you, first off, tell us a little bit about yourself and about your winery.
So we are located in Rioja, northern Spain. We are making the tasting we are making today is from El Barrio de la Estación. El Barrio de la Estación means the train station area from our village. And the train station area born because of the phylloxera. When the phylloxera appears in Europe, the north of Europe, so people from Bordeaux don't have any grapes to produce wine. It was in the late 1800s. So that's why many of them were looking for similar weather condition and terroir to make their wines. So they've been producing wines, the Bordeaux winemakers, in El Barrio de la Estación. And why in El Barrio de la Estación, in the train station area? Because of they do use, after making the wine, they transport always the wine by train. It's not that far away. Nowadays, it's like 4 hours driving by car from Aro to Bordeaux. That's why they made the train station area.
Oh.
And my family was start making wine in 1932 was the first bottle from Muga, but my family is involved in the wine business since 1590. Was a Muga brand. They started in 1932, and we are the third generation. My brothers are here with me. One is here, and the other one is there. And we third generation. We follow the philosophy of the winemaking of my philosophy of our grandfather philosophy.
I noticed you have three different labels. We have the
our main production is red wine, but we also produce Muga Blanco, Muga Rosado. We produce the red wines who represent 70% of our production is Muga Reserva, basic Reserva made from mainly Tempranillo, 15 years old Tempranillo, 2 years in oak. Then the Muga Selección Especial is the main difference with regular Reserva is that we are using all those Tempranillos, all those grapes. So we are talking about 35 years old Tempranillos with Grenache, Mazola, Graciano, always using local varieties. And then the aging also is longer, 2 years and a half instead of 2 years. And then the Prado Nea, who is the most classical wine we have at the winery, that's the first Prado Nea. When Prado Nea was the first Gran Reserva my grandfather did. That's why we continue his philosophy making the Gran Reserva Prado Nea with 60 years of Tempranillos, 83 years in oak. And then the last one we are showing today is the Torremuga, who is a modern style of Rioja wines we are producing now in Aro. And is made for high altitude, 750 meters from the sea level, Tempranillos, 70 years old Tempranillos, long maceration after fermentation. Then we age 18 months in 100% new oak, Jose, who is the most exclusive oak nowadays to make barriques. Quite powerful, but always we are very upset of having the nice balance between the fruit, but also the fruit and the oak, power with balance.
Like that power with balance. I like that. So my question is, under your Reserva Selección Especial, we have Pazuelo.
Pazuelo.
Pazuelo. That's a new grape to me. So can you tell us about that grape?
Yeah, the Pazuelo is the main grape is the Tempranillo, but it's the Graciano, Pazuelo, and Garnacha. The Mazuelo helps very much with the acidity. It's a very small quantity of Mazuelo we are using. It's very rare to see a Mazuelo, 100% Mazuelo, because it's a grape who helps the rest of the grapes, but alone by himself is not very very nice, but with the helps with the acidity.
So it would be too high of an acid wine, too difficult to.
To make
the flavors without.
Right. Yeah.
So, do you want to tell people where to find you? Like, you know, I mean, I'm assuming you're distributed all throughout.
Here in New York, we are working with Winston Daniels.
Okay.
They represent many good French wine as Romane Conti, or they have high selection from France, and they start making with they find a high selection also from Spain. So we start working like 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years ago with them. So now we are very happy with Winston Daniels.
What is your price points for the wines?
The price points for the wines are for the wines we are showing today. For example, the rosé for the Muga, we are talking about $30. The Muga Reserva, the regular Reserva, is around $30 as well. Selección Especial, $45. Pradonea, $85. And Victor Muga, 110. Retail price always.
That was really good.
I didn't get to taste that one yet, so I got to go back to the table.
I really like that one.
Myself a little sip of that. And are you found anywhere on any social media? What's the website? Where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, in bodegasmuga.com. We are in Instagram, Facebook, all the social media nowadays. We are working very hard because in Spain we are very strong in social media. We like very much. I think nowadays it's very, very important to be present for young, to introduce the wine to the young people. Is very important for us.
Great. Well, I'm going to ask my same question that I always ask. Okay. So, favorite child, favorite wine?
Favorite child. I have five children. I know which one. So depends of the day. I love one. One or each other, one or other. It's the end of the day.
It's very like, politically it's, correct
it's
answer.
It's like the way. It's the end of the day, how you feel, the food. For me, one of my coup de coeur, how you say in French, is the Selección Especial. It's one of my coup de coeur.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
thank you.
Looking to be in the know about Dracena wines? Want to know when we release our new wines? Find out about all of our accolades and get some behind-the-scenes information? Well, all you need to do is sign up for our newsletter. There is no commitment necessary, and I promise you we won't spam your mailbox with loads of messages. Need another reason to sign up? Quite possibly the best reason? You will immediately get a code for a special discount on all of our wines and be privy to newsletter-only specials. Let Dracena Wines turn your moments into great memories. Sign up simply by heading to our website, dracenawines.com, and fill out the pop-up or sidebar. It will take less than a minute of your time, but the rewards will last forever.
Santolaya. Okay, so we're here with Maria Santolaya with Bodegas Roda from Rioja.
That's it.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure for me to be here today.
When did you arrive in New York City?
I got here on Monday, and to get ready for the event today on Wednesday. And I've been just here for 2 days, but really excited to be here today.
Is this your first trip to New York?
I was just going to ask that.
So this is actually my first trip to New York because I'm new to this market. I've just begun working the North American market a year ago. So this is my first trip to New York with Roda.
And what do you think?
I love it. So I haven't had the time to visit because I've been working kind of hard and getting this event ready for the last 2 days. But for what I've seen up to now, I really like the city.
What's your thought process of the marketing concept of having you on the High Line, which was a railroad?
Yeah, so that has been really thought. So we are part of the railway station district in Haro, which is our hometown in Spain, in La Rioja. And we are surrounding the railway station of that town. So we wanted to when we knew that we could be in the Highland in New York, which was a railway place many years ago, we thought it could be the best place to do this event here, because all the wineries that were here today are around the railway in Rioja, in Haro. So it's a great thing, and it's a great marketing push to be in the Highland.
Great concept.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful place too.
And a beautiful day to boot.
Oh yeah, totally.
And it must be some power because it's not easy to shut down a portion of the High Line. So.
I can tell. I mean, I'm sure. But I'm sure it's been a great effort. But we are so happy to be here. It's really important for us.
So tell us about the bodega.
Okay, so Bodegas Roda is the youngest winery of the railway station district of Haro. So we are five wineries together here, and ours is the youngest. We are just a 30-year-old winery, but we have been in a rush to make to achieve a great level of recognition, and that's why we are here today. So we are really thankful to all the clients or all the wine drinkers that like our wines and that drink our wines all over the world. So our winery, it's a really nice concept. It's a brand new winery in terms of winemaking, in terms of thinking about the vineyards. So we are really concerned about respecting our vineyards, respecting the grapes that we use, and making wines that everybody can like. So making pure wines regarding mainly the fruit. So our wines, when we taste it, what we see at first is the fruit. So the Riojan style has historically been a style that was based in the oak, in American oak, and our style could be a bit of a more modern style, or that's how people describe it. Because regarding the traditional style of Rioja, our style can seem a bit more modern, even if we are also classical in our way of winemaking and of viticulture and vine growing. But the style of the wines that we make tends more to the fruit and to maximum respect of the terroir and the vintages of each year. So I mean, it's a really nice concept and a really nice project, because it really focuses on understanding the pure winemaking from La Rioja and the grapes that we have that are excellent grapes and excellent quality.
What are the price points of the wines that you have here today?
Okay, so here in the U.S., our cheapest wine could be around $40 a bottle, and our most expensive around $300. So it's a big gap. Thinking that we just make four wines, it's a really big gap. But the average would probably be around the 70 something. But that $325 bottle, it's our top bottle, and it's way more expensive than the medium range.
So what makes it so special?
So the name of the wine is Thirsion, and it's a really, really special wine because it's a selection of individual vines, individual plants from our best and oldest parcels. So we select these plants because they have different characteristics from the ones that they have around them. The characteristics of these vines is that they are able to ripen their clusters in a better way and faster than the other vines or other plants. So we decided many years ago, when we discovered that we had these plants that could ripen their grapes in a better way, we decided to select them, mark them, and harvest them separately in order to make a different wine. And by being riper, this wine doesn't need to be aged for a long time. So we only age it for 8 months, which is something crazy.
Wow.
If we compare it to our regular reservas that are aged for 14 months. So by aging this wine for just 8 months, we get a huge complexity coming from the grapes and not from the aging process. So that wine, Thirsion, it's incredibly complex regarding in terms of fruit. So the fruit is ripe, it's black fruited, but we also have lots of spices, even leathery aromas, aromatic plants. We have so many aromas. The aromatic frame is so wide that it's a really special wine. And it's a young wine. It's not even a reserva. It's a young wine because it's just aged for 8 months. And because of that, it's fresh, it's vital, it's incredibly complex, but fun at the same time, and it's incredible. Everybody hallucinate with this wine when they taste it, because you don't expect such complexity or such freshness or such concentration all together in a wine. So that's why it's so special.
So aging it only 8 months, what is your anticipation? Like, are you expecting people to purchase it and lie it down? And what's the drinking window for that?
So it's a wine that it could be consumed in the moment that we release it. Our philosophy is to not release a wine if it's not ready to drink. So it could be perfectly consumed in the moment that we release it, but by being so complex and being so special, when we age it for a while in our personal cellars, we will discover that the wine just gets bigger and better. So the best thing that I suggest doing is probably getting two bottles, drinking one in the present, or a case, but drinking one bottle in that moment and letting the other one age for a while and see the difference. But it's an experience. That one.
That's where a Korvan comes into good use.
Yes.
Exactly. That's it. That's it. Yeah.
So when you were saying that these are individually marked and harvested, is it vintage by vintage? You're walking through the vines and you're picking, you know, at the beginning of the season, you're picking, all right, this is the cluster, this is the vine we're doing, or have you determined which vines go into this bottle?
So throughout the years, we have been determining the vines that are able to go to Thirsium, so to reach that level of quality. But it's true that every year we find new vines that could go into Thirsium, and we realize that some of the vines that we were using don't have enough quality. So our technical team spends lots of time when harvest approaches. They spend lots of time berry tasting and walking through the vineyards to see if the quality of our grapes is the one that we are expecting, right? So, of course, we have the vines marked, but we can discover new vines every year.
So you can upgrade or degrade whichever.
Totally. And something important to say about Thirsium is that it's not made every year. So Thirsium just exists in the best vintages. So, for example, now we are tasting 2016 here, but 2013 and 2014, we didn't make any Thirsium because the vintages were not good enough to make such a special wine.
Just tell us a little bit about the history of, like, where did the name come from of the winery?
Okay, so the name Roda comes from the last names of the two owners of the winery. So one of the owners is Mr. Rodjant, and the Ro comes from Rodjant, and the other owner is Miss Daureya, and then Rodjant and Daureya make Roda. So it's last names of the owners, yeah.
Now, I know we were here talking about Rioja, but you do have two other properties.
Yeah, so we do have this winery in Rioja, the one that we were talking about, but we also have a winery in Ribera del Duero. This is a new project that we began 10 years ago. We were already experts mainly with Tempranillo, that is our main variety in Rioja, and we wanted to expand somehow, but we didn't want to get bigger in Rioja. We wanted to grow in not in production, not in volume, but in expertise. So we and an experience. So we decided to look for another region where Tempranillo was as big as in Rioja, and we decided to go to Ribera del Duero and create Corimbo and Corimbo 1, same as Roda and Roda 1, our wines from Rioja. So Corimbo and Corimbo 1 are our wines from Ribera del Duero. And the first vintage that we produced was 2009, and we have been making these two incredible wines since that moment. We are not showing them today because this is a Rioja event, but I invite everybody to taste the Corimbos if they have the opportunity, because they are something incredible.
And when people come to Rioja, to your region, to your winery, is it open to visitors? Do they need to schedule appointments? Is it?
So, of course, it's always open. We have touristic visits every single day except for on Sundays. But we also have a wine bar. So for the visits, it will be necessary to set an appointment. But if somebody doesn't have an appointment, they can go directly to our wine bar, and they would be able to taste every single wine in there, buy any single bottle they want to buy. So they can taste our Rioja wines, our Ribera wines, and even our olive oils, because we also produce olive oil in the island of Mallorca. So we make two of the best olive oils of Spain, Aubo Casa and Lamo. Those are the names of the olive oils that we produce in the wonderful island of Mallorca in the Mediterranean Sea, which is another project incredible that we have.
Sounds impressive. So are you guys on social media? Can they find you?
Yes, of course. So we are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So if you look for Bodegas Roda, which would be the winery in Rioja, Bodegas La Horra with an H, the Horra has an H, which would be the winery in Ribera del Duero, or Aubo Casa, which is the oil press in Mallorca, they could find us anywhere. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very
You're
much.
Welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah.
This has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I'm also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoytbud. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find me more easily. Until next week, sláinte.